Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Goldbridge Saves Football. We're back after a little bit of a winter break, which actually was only a few days. I hope you all had a great Christmas. We've got lots to get into and our big topic today is going to be the best January Premier League signings ever. But Will, Merry Christmas. I hope you had a good one. Don't know what the Blues did, so you may as well have your section there on that.
Yeah, I mean, I could do 15 minutes on that. Spent £11.99 on a Now TV pass to settle down to a lovely Boxing Day fixture against Stoke City. And we were 3-0 down by about 65 minutes. So,
get the Monopoly well spent.
Yeah, I actually did a bit of Lego, which shows how bad it was at the end. So, terrible Christmas for me. Hope yours was a little bit better. Great to see Højlund scoring.
Well, yeah, I did you a favour, beating the Villa. And yeah, from a footballing point of view, it was fantastic. And also from a festive point of view, it was great. Obviously, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what I always do. That's all day Christmas Day. I was just thinking, this is Jesus' day. But away from that, I thought, well, actually, I'm going to try Yorkshire puddings for the first time. First Christmas with a Yorkshire pudding. I mean, I did put a picture up on Twitter. It received very good feedback. And I'm a fan of Yorkshire pudding, but I'd never had it on a Christmas dinner, and I'd done it on a watch along. And 70% of people said they had it with their Christmas dinner. I thought, I'm missing out. Tried it. For me, the components of my Christmas dinner were already perfect. Added this, didn't think it could be any better. It was. And that's my advice to anyone. Never say, you know, when your partner wants to try something exciting in the dressing room, in the bedroom, you know, keep an open mind. That's what I say for 2024.
So what you're saying is put your knob through a Yorkshire pudding? Is that what you're saying?
We're not saying that. That's we don't want a dick in a hole. Toadenhole was absolutely fine. Anyway, look, loads to catch up on because since the last one, we've actually had two Premier League game weeks. We've got Goldbridge where Will was on fire. I mean, I was just saying, Solanke, stop scoring. You're ruining the game at one point. But I salvaged it back with some of the Boxing Day fixtures. We'll look ahead to the next weekend, of course. But I suppose the first place to start is who'll be top at Christmas, that is all. That song is dead for another year. But we got it wrong because it actually ended up being Arsenal, Will.
Yeah, I mean, going into that, I think the main one was the worry was Aston Villa, wasn't it, for me, going into those two games. Sheffield United at home and then a game against, well, obviously Sheffield United was before Christmas. I thought it was going to be nervy. Wilder's got a Sheffield United. I know you've written them off, Luton and Sheffield United, so early on, and I've been backing them, but they have been performing under Wilder. It was a nervy game. Cameron Arch obviously scoring, and then obviously they go into the Manchester United game, got the two early goals, but I mean, saw the game, chatted to my Villa mates. They said it was probably the worst performance of the season. So that was a relief. That was a little Christmas present for me. And then Arsenal, yeah, sort of maybe a little bit of a surprise. I know Arsenal fans think we sort of write them off a little bit in the Spotify comments, but yeah, a bit of a surprise for me.
Well, I had a few people say to me, you know, isn't it coincidental that Goldbridge sees John McGinn a few days before the Villa-Man United game and Villa put in their worst performance of the season? Look, the only thing that was exchanged between me and John McGinn was curious looks. That was it. There was no money. There was no threats. It was just curiosity. And maybe curiosity killed the cat because they lost. But maybe I got in his head. Maybe I got in his head with that little glance. That was all that was needed. But I did feel that actually, I mean, what we want to get your thoughts, everybody in the comments on Spotify and iTunes, about what your top five Premier League signings are of all time. We're going to do that in a moment. But what I also want to do is set you a little bit of homework, actually, because we read the comments and I would love to know, Will, I would love to know, instead of moaning about VAR, can a few of you get in the comments for the next episode and tell us factually how many points Liverpool, Arsenal and Villa would be better off if they'd had fair VAR decisions, and how many points worse off Man City would be if we'd had fairness? Because obviously we had that handball with Everton, we had the handball for Liverpool and Odegaard, and then we had the push in the back in the Sheffield United game. And if Villa had scored in that first half, there's no way Sheffield United are going to win that, get a point. And Liverpool might have beaten Arsenal, and Man City might not have beaten Everton. And I just think it'd be very interesting if someone can do that in the comments, because I think off the top of my head, Man City probably would be 2 to 4 points worse off if we'd had fair VAR against them. And I certainly think Villa, Arsenal and Liverpool would be at least 2 points better off. So it's an interesting one.
I think the one that screams to my mind when you speak about Manchester City, and not the most disastrous decision of the season by far, but that's probably more because of the horrendous VAR decisions and the awful mistakes they've made. But was it against Crystal Palace or Fulham when it was the guy was clearly in the eye line of the goalkeeper and they got that goal given where it happened, didn't it, with Liverpool, wasn't it? And that they got the goal removed even though Salah was being pushed into the offside position. But that one was, they got that chalked up.
Well, we'll revisit that because I'm sure somebody will get in the comments and work that out for us, and we can revisit that maybe on the Tuesday show. But what I will say is, without getting into too much, because it's still Christmas, I like the Christmas week in between Christmas and New Year and, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. I don't want to bring the mood down. But what I will say is that it's becoming more and more clear that the Premier League title race is being dictated to by bad officiating. Villa should have had a penalty. Maybe Liverpool should have had a handball. Maybe Man City shouldn't have had a handball. And that's just one Premier League weekend. What is also on the horizon before we preview some of the weekend and do Goldbridge is the January transfer window, Will. And we messaged each other over Christmas about this. And I said, wouldn't it be great, because it's Christmas week, to do something a little bit of novelty, a bit like a Christmas cracker joke. And I thought, let's do the top five Premier League January transfers ever, because there's been some really interesting ones. And actually, the one that's my number one, I'd forgotten, was a January transfer. So I don't know. I've got a bit of a short list. I've actually got some people that didn't make it. But what were your thoughts on doing the research for this? Because I was actually surprised by some of them.
I think the magnitude of some of the names that come up near the top of my list, I couldn't actually believe a January transfer window signings, because you look at those signings and you think, you know, they've got to wait till the summer, get all the paperwork done. But they are some big game changers in this list. And I think you'll be surprised at home as well.
Yeah, well, look, before we do the signings, I actually was looking at loan signings. And this is, again, another one for people in the Spotify, because I don't think me and Will pretend that we're the font of all knowledge. I think the great thing about the community we have here and on YouTube is that there are some really intelligent football fans out there these days, and we thrive on that. It's a little bit like that David Brent saying, isn't it, in The Office, where he's asked for a saying and he can't really come up with one and he sort of messes it up. But he goes, you know, I like to surround myself with employees who are better than me, or think they're better than me, because it gets me on my toes. And I think that's my motto as well. I like our community to have intelligent people who think they're intelligent, but they're probably not as intelligent as me when it comes to football. Which reminds me, actually, on Christmas Day night we were playing games, Will, and we played The Chase, which is quite a good board game. Have you played The Chase?
Oh, nice. No, like the TV show though.
Yep, played The Chase, and you know when your family underestimates you. Basically, it was my turn on The Chase. I blitzed it, and they were like, all I could hear was this thud as jaws hit the table as to how intelligent I actually am. But anyway, back to what I was saying, and Jesse Lingard, best loan January signing ever, when he went to West Ham.
Well, so much so that a friend of mine and friend of yours, Jack, actually got a tattoo of him, didn't he? To try and, I don't know if it was to keep him at West Ham, but such was the love of that season. He was sort of a maestro in midfield, scoring all the goals. He went on that amazing run of goals, didn't he? And he just kept scoring. And he never went back, did he? I don't think.
No, I mean, he should have done. He went to Forest for money, didn't he? But it just shows you that crap players can still be good January signings. I mean, Lingard's very much open season when it comes to being ridiculed, but he was a very, very good January signing. Also, shout out for people from the past a little bit, talking about West Ham again. I remember they bought Paul Kitson and John Hartson many years ago in January and basically kept them up. A few notable ones that didn't make my top five: Luis Diaz from Liverpool. I thought he came in and did quite a good job quite quickly. A couple from Chelsea, Ivanovic and Matic, were both January signings for them and went on to do very, very well. Seamus Coleman was bought by Everton from Sligo Rovers in January as well. I would probably say that Coutinho, when he went to Liverpool from Inter Milan, was also a January signing as well. So there's a few that didn't make my top five, but there's a, you know, the comments are going to be really interesting on this.
I think honourable mention as well, I don't know if he's in yours, but Aubameyang, I think, moved to Arsenal in January as well.
I just couldn't read my writing, Will. That's the one I couldn't read. You know, when I paused a little bit, I was like, what the hell does that say? And it was Aubameyang. It was Aubameyang. Yeah, I'll admit I am drinking doing this podcast, which is fine. Don't drink and drive, but do or optionally can drink and do podcasts. Not my words.
Yeah, nice.
The words of Budweiser. They refuse to actually comment, but I am drinking that. Pint cans, which any other brands that do pint cans? I've got to say, Budweiser, I think every Christmas, something really impresses me. The chess board game, and I've never really watched The Chase. And I think I just called it chess. And pint beer cans. I'm loving that. That's a real novelty. But should we do our top fives?
Yeah, do you want to do like five, you five, me four, you four? Go down like that?
Yeah, let's both do who our number five is then. Who have you got in at five?
Well, in at five for me, and I can't underestimate how much this man probably changed the course of history for a short period of time for my beloved Birmingham City. And in at number five for me, I've got Christophe Dugarry. Now, many will laugh and scoff at this, and Mark will think I'm just getting my Birmingham City mention in. But for Birmingham City to get in the Premier League at the time was like, as a kid, mind-blowing. To be flirting with relegation was pretty obvious in the first season. But then to sign a World Cup winner, because at the time in 2001, it was still at the time where when foreign players were coming into the Premier League, it was still of like, you thought everyone was going to be great. And especially a World Cup winner from France 98, which still has the nostalgia with me. 5 goals, 16 games, doesn't sound amazing. Kept us up that season, then left by the following January. But we don't like to talk about that. So in at five for me, Christophe Dugarry.
Yeah, I think what Will's done here is he's seen a Premier League topic that we're doing and thought I can shoehorn Birmingham City into this, because my number five is Bruno Fernandes, Manchester United signing, came in January and for the first year was incredible, and still, even now, when United are crap, still tops most stats in relation to goal creation. So there's better than Bruno in this list, but I started off with Bruno at number five. Will's gone with Christophe Dugarry. Buggery. Bugger me. It's Dugarry. Who's your number four?
To give him. Number four for me is, now you brought him up in your honourable mentions, but number four for me, I've gone for Ivanovic, because you were talking about stats. Now, you're already stat padding on this list, talking about Fernandes and his goals and his assists and his expected goals.
Very good player.
I talk about medals. Cold, hard, metal medals. Gold medals. He won it all at Chelsea. One of them players I think you'd love to have in your team. Very generic saying, but a 7 or 8 every time he played. And I think Chelsea fans love him dearly to this day. And he was a January signing in 2008. And he went on to make 377 appearances in various Chelsea sides as well under various managers.
I don't know what Chelsea fans think of him, but as a Manchester United fan, I think he's massively underrated and a fantastic player for them, Ivanovic. Don't have a problem with that. Not the only Serbian, I think, that's going to make it into the top five. Let's leave it at that, because my number four is going to be Patrice Evra. Came to Manchester United in January. I don't know when the January transfer window actually became the January transfer window. It doesn't matter, because it's still a January signing. Andy Cole actually signed for Manchester United in January, if I think correct. But he's not in my top five. Patrice Evra is my number four.
Okay, coming in at three for me, this is where we get to the big hitters, and it was sort of trying to decide who bought most to what team for what value. So for number three, I've gone for Luis Suarez signing for Liverpool, sort of at the time when Andy Carroll signed. Yeah, I think we all know which player went on to have a good career and which player went on to maybe not have such a good career. But Luis Suarez in at three. Why have you picked him there?
Well, I've probably bitten off more than I can chew, being a Man United fan, if you get pardon the pun. Yeah. I look... I just had to acknowledge the impact that he had at Liverpool. And I just remember, especially that season where Brendan Rodgers basically fucked it up, didn't he, when they blew it against Chelsea and at Istanbul. I don't like Suarez. It's funny how we've got Everett and Suarez 4 and 3 for me, actually, because let's just say they had a bit of a do once at Anfield. But yeah, as much as I despise him for some of the things he's done, I can't. We're talking about January, best January signings ever, and from a Liverpool point of view and what he did, pretty much unknown. I know at Ajax he was quite well rated, but I think Liverpool sort of put him on the map as a top level player. So yeah, begrudgingly, I hate doing it, but I think I would have to have him as number three. Who's your number two?
Number two for me, I've crossed them out, scribbled again, wrote them down, scribbled again. In at number two for me is Virgil van Dijk. Ooh. Won it all at Liverpool, 75 million, and that probably comes into the working out for why I've gone for a different person at number one. I still think there's more to come from him, so maybe if we revisited the list in 5 years' time, he could be top. But Premier League, Champions League, and I think there's still more to come. But just because of the price, he's in at number two for me.
Interesting. I've gone for Vidic at number two, Manchester United.
Wow.
Came in the same time as Evra. Probably my favourite centre-back in Premier League history. Taking emotion out of it, Vidic was just an amazing centre-back. And I'd put, you know, if you want a centre-back in your team, it's him. The reason I didn't put him down as number one is because he actually didn't adjust very quickly. He took a bit of time, both him and Evra did, but, you know, for his career, what he achieved, there's a famous quote, I think, from Paul Scholes about seeing them in training, Evra and Vidic, and going, what the hell have we done here? I think we've made a mistake. So I think there was a bit of a adjustment period, but what a signing he ended up being.
Yeah, well, I mean, that clears the way for me, doesn't it? Number one for me, Nemanja Vidic, just because of the... Mm. Even in 2006, £7 million is still a remarkable signing. Obviously, like you said, tough start, but cracked on. And for me, that's why I did it, just because of the cost. So you've gone, I imagine, Van Dijk number one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to give it to Vidic, but I tried to be a little bit fairer on this. And I just thought the reason I gave it Van Dijk was two reasons, actually. One, very personal. You know, he's a good friend of mine. No, not really. It was because I just think Vidic came into United side and did very, very well, but it was a United side with history of winning the Premier League. Whereas Van Dijk came into a Liverpool side that hadn't won the Premier League and I think was so transformative for Liverpool. I know the price was high. And then secondly, I remember when they bought him and I laughed. The tweet, I don't know whether I deleted it. I don't normally delete it, but it still does exist in the communities. And on certain forums, I basically said, ha, £75 million for a Dutch Chris Smalling. Which actually, Chris Smalling's not bad. I think Neil Warnock described him as no better than, was it Chris Samba? Remember at Blackburn?
Yes. But yeah.
Who actually also wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Remember he used to score every week for Blackburn? Or, you know, you ever look back on football like that and I felt like Matt Letizia used to score a worldie every week. I felt like Chris Samba scored every week for Blackburn. He probably scored like two goals, I bet.
There'd be a good 11 in, like, I don't want to say Streets Won't Forget 11, but maybe putting something around that of, like, so you can get your Chris Sambas in there. I don't want to be doing Streets Won't Forget because that gets, you know what I'm trying to say.
So, Will, give us your top five and I'll give you my top five. We might put this down as a poll, but it's really more for you at home to get in your comments on Spotify and give us your top fives, really. So, Will's top five is...
Christophe Dugarry, Ivanovic, Luis Suarez, Virgil van Dijk, and number one, Nemanja Vidic.
And my top five was Bruno Fernandes, Patrice Evra, Luis Suarez, Nemanja Vidic, and in at number one, Virgil van Dijk. And I got to say, before we did this, I'd forgotten that Virgil van Dijk was a January signing and I'd forgotten quite a few of these were. So, you know what? Man United constantly will put out this from the director of football. They constantly do this every year. We don't like to do business in January. We don't think it's a good market to do business in. We like to do it in the summer. Well, sit the fuck down and watch this show. Because I tell you what, all right, the summer transfer window is always going to dominate, but you can get some bloody good players in January and you always... And some of these are going back 10, 15 years. It's not a... I mean, look at what Chelsea did last year. It's not it's a myth to say that you can't do good business in January.
Also, I think that we're going into an absolute sort of A-plus January transfer window because of the resources that some teams have got, the competitiveness of the league. I think this January could be A1.
Well, I'd like to do that maybe. Well, we're going to run out of time next week because we're talking about VAR. Maybe we will get time, but one of the shows next week, I'd like to do one player every club should sign in January, realistic. I mean, they won't do it, but like what we think every player should get. But enjoyed that. Don't forget to get on Spotify and give us your top fives. We might have missed a few. I mean, as I said, I'm sure there are a few that we missed, but I think we've got it right. But give us your top fives as well. And don't forget that VAR thing because I want to use that as research for next week. But it's good to be back. I'm enjoying this podcast. I know it's that week in between Christmas and New Year that some people get really depressed. I love it, Will. I love it. Yesterday, I just sat there. Boxing Day, I watched The Lion King with Fred. He's not invited, Seb. And then yesterday, we watched Nativity, Tabby McTaff, or something like that. And then Mog's Christmas. Yeah. Building Lego. Just things you'd never normally do. I do like it. I do like it.
Well, I tell you, how many times have I tell you you've got to switch off a bit, you know? I saw you tweeting on Christmas Day. I was thinking you're going to text you, say, you put the phone down, have a look at the turkey, get the Lego out and put your feet up.
I like tweeting on Christmas Day, though. I do. I like going on Twitter on Christmas Day. It's not really football. It's silly stuff, really. There was a few people sort of, really in-depth talking about stuff. And I was just like, what are you doing? It's Christmas Day. Pictures of your Christmas dinner's fine. Drunken messages to wind people up is fine. But yeah, let's not be talking about who's playing in midfield tomorrow. It's Christmas, really. Didn't really watch much TV at Christmas, Will, did you? Christmas Day?
No, I thought TV was a bit crap. We watched a load of old stuff. I always watched the Father Ted Christmas special.
Oh, I love that,
the Royal Family Christmas special.
Love that.
Yeah, just there weren't really too much on, really. New Chicken Run 2 I watched. Absolutely fantastic view.
Seb was watching that before Christmas. I watched a bit of that. I'll tell you what I did. I was around my sister's house and there was three generations there. And two things, I had a really good day, actually. Actually, three things. I put a picture on Instagram, reminded me when I was 8 or 9. We went into the spare room and used these couple of small goals and we played living room football, me, Seb, and my nephews, which I could have played that for a week. It was great fun. Also, got really tired at about 4 o'clock. Everyone was in the kitchen chatting. Downed my right red wine, went and lay on the sofa and watched Home Alone and fell asleep. That was good. And then lunchtime. Didn't think I was going to do this year. Went to one of my best mates from school on Christmas Eve. He's got a pub. Shout out to the Unicorn in Langer. We went for a lovely meal there. And all the local pubs were closed on Christmas Day, which is something I always brag about. I always say, oh, I love it when I'm back in Nottingham. I always go to a local pub Christmas Day. Didn't think anywhere was open. Got a message saying the pub in Hose is open. So we went to Hose and had a couple of pints. I love a pint on Christmas Day. Just a couple of pints at lunchtime. Love that. And got recognised, which you know me, I've got such a big head and ego. That was great as well. And I acted all like, oh, you know, I'm just a normal person. But deep down, I know I'm not. I know I am special. And getting noticed on Christmas Day is, you know, it's a special day for people.
That's probably the best.
I don't know what that means. I've lost my way. I hope everyone had a good Christmas, actually, and made good memories. And even if you made bad ones, there's always 2024 around the corner.
Exactly. New year, new hope, new owners. Dropping Christmas Eve, always good for you.
Oh, that is football related. I tell you what, I couldn't believe that. I will remember it as a Christmas memory, but that you should, like you say, football should not be a Christmas memory. We'd driven to Nottingham, was just unpacking the car, checked my phone. Ryan, who you know, goes, I've heard they're going to announce it at 4 o'clock. I said, my message was expletively, you're having a fucking laugh. I'm just about to get on the mulled wine. I'll be comatose. And he said, no, 4 o'clock, they're going to announce it. Oh, you can't do that. I was live at 4 o'clock in my bloody nephew's bedroom. No one wants to be doing that. People are like, he looks like he's in a stable. I said, don't worry, I'm not trying to recreate a nativity scene. I was chatting away in a live chat and I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this at 4:30 on Christmas Eve, talking about a 25% stake of the ownership. But I suppose, anyway, I know you've been looking forward to this bit, Will, all Christmas. Ever since Solanke scored a hat trick at the weekend, you thought, oh, I'm up to my nuts in. No. I'm eating my nuts. It's Brazil nuts and all that lot. And bloody did it again on Boxing Day. So how many points did you get on Goldbridge? Because it was a double game week, and I was in trouble from the first game week. But we made our selections, and we said they count for 2 weeks. So we probably got more points than we normally would. But I got you down for 5.
Well, so we game week in 18 and 19 combined. So we picked 5 players for both of those. We have, as of recording, still got tonight's fixtures, which. Some of us.
I've got Jesus still. In. I think you've got Kulusevski.
So, going into the game week, I was 16-15 in favour of me. So, what I've got down, and tell me if I'm wrong, and we can resurrect this. Solanke, 4 goals over 2 game weeks. Bowen, 1, and then I've had nothing else so far. But I have got Kulusevski and Bowen tonight. I've got you down for Nunes, 1, and Hoyland, 1.
And Alanga.
Oh, and Alanga, yeah. And but I was going to say, actually, I forgot he scored in the game week 18, but obviously his performance, just to provide that many assists for Chris Wood, you deserve the goal anyway, but you have got it. So I make that 21-18.
Yeah, you're right, currently. Yeah, 5-3, yeah. Oh, very good week for Will. I can't deny it, you know. I've got a bit of work to do, which is why this week I've gone a little bit. I've got a little bit safe in some senses, but yeah. Should we start? We'll do this week, and then we can do a few either ors about the games, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, do you want to do? Let's do alternative as we normally do. So, if you want to go with your first pick, and then I'll go with mine.
Well, in a way, I suppose I've stolen it from you. I have gone Solanke this week.
That's fine. I think we have a sort of unwritten rule between us that we don't sort of double down on back-to-back weeks, and especially having a double weeker. So you can have Solanke. Number one for me, I've gone for Cole Palmer. Chelsea have got Luton away. Luton looking very good, but I don't know if I've been sucked into this sort of Chelsea revival because they've won one game. So after you.
Yeah, I'm sticking with that Chelsea game. I've gone with Nicholas Jackson. I feel stupid and idiotic doing it, but he just seems to get loads of chances. And at some point, I think he's going to go and do a hat trick or something. So, yeah, my second pick is Jackson.
Second pick for me is Mohamed Kudus for West Ham. Now, this is the point where someone tells you he's suspended, but I don't know. I feel like the yellow cards have been wiped out after this week. But Brighton, no clean sheets this season, I think. So. Hopefully an open game, and Kudus for me.
Fair dues. My third pick is going to be Phil Foden for Man City. They're at home to Sheffield United. Looked very good against Everton. Looks like he's in good form at the moment. I know he's not a striker, but yeah, I've gone Phil Foden there.
The next one for me, I've gone for Bukayo Saka. Arsenal have got Fulham away. Very Jekyll and Hyde for them at the moment. Don't know what team you're going to get, but I'm going to go for Saka to score.
Yeah, I was. You know what? I'll shout out two players I haven't gone for because I used them last week, Alanga and Hoyland. I'd fancy both of those to score, to be honest, this weekend, but I've mixed it up a bit. I was going to go Nunez against Newcastle. I think I fancy him to score, but I did have him last week as well. So it's an upgrade, but I'd rather go with Nunez. But because I didn't have him last week, I've gone with Salah.
Yeah, real slug-like behaviour from you. Pick number 4 for me, someone maybe close to your heart who's in a rich vein of scoring at the moment. I've gone for Garnacho.
2 goals, very, very good. Very, very good indeed. I was struggling with the next one. I would like to have gone for Ollie Watkins because they are playing against... they're playing Burnley, aren't they? And I think there will be a reaction. They're very good at home, Aston Villa. But if you don't go for Ollie Watkins, it's hard to sort of go where you're going to go next. So I was just looking at their lineup, and it depends what he's going to do. I'm going to go Leon Bailey.
Interesting. Feel like you pulled that one from your arse. Number 5 for me, I had Nunes down, deleted it, because one man that we probably won't talk about on this podcast, but deserves a mention, turned into Zlatan Ibrahimovic at St James's Park, haunted his former manager. Pick number five for me. Would you believe it? It's Chris Wood.
Chris Wood is...
Well, I tell you what, I don't blame you.
That's not John Fury, by the way. That's not John Fury. That's
more like John.
Sean Dyche. Who Forrest got? Oh, Man United. God, I hope not. I really hope not. This is where people will say, you're doubling down on Man City. I am losing and I'm entitled to pick what I like. My goalkeeper is Ederson.
Okay, I'll go for my goalkeeper will be... I'm going to go Martinez at Aston Villa.
Good shout against Burnley. They're toothless. They're like a basking shark. And my goal scorer, I found it very, really difficult. I sort of looked at Villa and I couldn't think who would score for Villa as a defender because Pau Torres didn't play against United. So again, I've gone for a game where I think there'll be goals, which has to be, I think Villa and Man City are the games where I think there's logically goals, or Chelsea. So I was stuck between Thiago Silva or a Man City defender. You can guarantee Thiago Silva's going to score because I've gone for a Kanji.
Okay, I'm going to go for William Saliba. Gabriel scored against Liverpool in this game week, so I'm hoping for some Saliba magic from set pieces.
Who'd you go as your goalkeeper? Martinez, didn't you? Yeah. Okay.
Martinez.
Well, that completes Goalbridge for this week. Remember, you can play along against us. Five goal scorers who you think will score. We're not allowed to pick Haaland, by the way, because he'd be obvious against Sheffield United, I think. A defender to score and then a clean sheet as well. Will is winning at the moment, but there's plenty to play for in 2024, which reminds me, win, lose or draw, I've got no fucking idea what happened in that. Anyway, have we got any either ors ahead of this weekend fixture? Newcastle-Liverpool's the one, I suppose, isn't it? At Liverpool. Liverpool won there with 10 men, of course, at the start of the season. Very impressive. Nunez scored a couple of goals. Newcastle are doing terrible, Will, at the moment. I was actually talking about this. Ten Hag was under pressure. I don't know why he's under more pressure than Pochettino and Eddie Howe when you consider, I just think Newcastle's an easier job than Man United at the moment. But they've got their next three games are Liverpool away, Man City at home and Villa away. I mean, Newcastle could be in a horrible position if they lose all three of those.
Well, I don't understand what the comparison between Eddie Howe and Eric Ten Hag, because when Eddie Howe took the job, and if you'd have said that they'd be, what, sixth or seventh, having just had a Champions League campaign after he came in, within 18 months, 24 months, and the expectations of where Eric Ten Hag should be, I just think they're completely different.
It's the regression. I think Eddie Howe has overachieved, but now I think he's starting to underachieve. He's almost paying the price of his initial success, because when I look at Newcastle, I see the wealthiest club in the world with a very good structure above him, like the CEO, the director of football are fantastic. The team is very, very good. Yes, he's got the injury excuse, and yes, the January transfer window is very, very big. But I just look at Newcastle and I think when Newcastle are in the Champions League, you can't just go, oh, we enjoyed that, we'll never do that again. I mean, we've all had that in the bedroom. And the reality is, I think that if they lose their next three games, which I think they'll probably lose two of them, I look at where Brighton are, I look at where Chelsea are, I look at where Wolves are, they could find themselves in the bottom half. And then, that's what I mean. I don't think Eddie Howe's in any immediate danger, but if they've got to do well in the January transfer window, and if they lose their next three games, I reckon they might be in the bottom half, and then that's when you've got to ask questions. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. But I think we've done this on this podcast before, and we've even brought it up with like writing off Eddie Howe and then get like, I'm not saying it will happen, but you could not easily see a world, but there is a world where they end up getting 9 points and they're sort of back up and running because he does have those. He's still got the dressing room. There's no sort of like worry about that. So I still think they could get, you know, 5 points, 6 points, 4 points, and it's still being a positive after those three games.
What worries me about Newcastle is I always say never write Newcastle off at home. And then they got absolutely gutted by Forest, didn't they? And their team that they put out wasn't terrible. Interesting. I think Liverpool will win that one quite comfortably, if I'm being honest.
I think Forest result taken away from it. I think the home games they got focused on in those ones. And I think Liverpool's point against Arsenal, there was like clear signs that they should have won that. and they're still ticking along. So I think, yeah, be comfortable Liverpool win.
Other games we've got that I think are quite interesting. Well, look, Forest at home to Manchester United, I suppose. 5:30 on Saturday. Forest, it's a great result. Man United had a great result. New manager for Forest. It's the sort of game where United would be completely inconsistent and go and get beat. I can't wait for it. Wouldn't matter if we were playing Crystal Palace away because of how well we played against Villa. I'm really looking forward to this United game, and I think a lot of United fans are. But I'm under no illusions as to how difficult it will be. And you never know. It's like Forrest Gump. You just never know what you're going to get.
Well, I think with that Forrest, like Newcastle started really well in that game, and then Forrest just got set. You think how little Nuno's had with the team, got set, and Alanga was. I mean, I'm sure as a United fan, you were sort of seething of letting him go for the price that he did. And obviously, I don't know if Chris Wood's at St James's Park is a unique set of circumstances, but a bit organised structure and good on the break. So, I mean, it could open up for Forest there. But yeah, one of the best United performances of the season.
Where would you go, Forest or United?
I'm going to dampen your expectations. I'm actually going to go for a score draw.
Yeah, I think the draw might be the logical thing, but I've got to say, I can't wait for it. I can't wait for the watch along of that. I never thought Forest against Man United would be a really exciting game, although twats will say, man, you are a Forest fan. But I think it's a cracking game. And under the lights on a Saturday night, just before the end of the year, I'm really looking forward to that one. You know what? I think the best game after that is Newcastle, Liverpool, Forest, Man United are the two picks. You've got a lot of games that are, I think Luton, Chelsea will be boring, or Chelsea will win easily. I think Villa will beat Burnley easily. Man City will beat Sheffield United easily. Tottenham, Bournemouth could be interesting. Fulham, Arsenal could be interesting. I actually think Wolves, Everton is an interesting one.
I thought you were going to say Tottenham, Bournemouth, to be fair, because the run Bournemouth are on and sort of Tottenham are coming back a little bit. It's sort of the purists' game, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a massive month for Tottenham because apparently, I know the AFCON is going to happen. So if you've got any African players, you're going to lose them, if most likely. Yeah, I think Man United, Amrabat and Ghana have got Onana, who's been called up. But apparently there's something going on with Asia as well, because Son's off.
It's the Asia Cup as well.
Yeah, so I mean, that's massive for Spurs, really, losing Son. I presume Bissouma goes as well.
Yeah. I think it's good. I mean, even just thinking challenging about FPL, you've got to make some really tactical decisions going into January.
I'd still fancy Tottenham to win that, but I wouldn't underestimate Bournemouth.
Yeah, I think that'll be a real chess battle on the tactical board. I think that... I don't know that one. I could see Bournemouth getting a cheeky win there.
I know the Friday show's not normally as long as the Tuesday show, but we've been off for a little bit for Christmas. What's your thoughts on the title race now? I mean, we bigged up that Arsenal-Liverpool game. There's something weird about the games before Christmas because you play them again very quickly. I think it's the start of February that Arsenal-Liverpool play each other. We're looking at the table now and you've got Liverpool top as we speak, although by the time you listen to this, you'll know the Arsenal-West Ham result. Villa, that's still there or thereabouts. I'm not putting Villa in it, Will. I just think their away form is just not good enough. They were so bad. I've seen them, even against Brentford, it was only because of Ben Mee's sending off that they really got back into it. I just don't think they're good enough away from home. Man City looks so ominous. I still think City are the team to beat.
Yeah, I think we've maybe lured ourselves into a false sense of security because, you know, the gap between Man City and Arsenal was so much more going further into the season that, you know, Manchester City can swallow up these points easy, I think. But yeah, they'll get ticking, they'll get purring. Hopefully, the one that can combat it is Liverpool, because although the midfield's relatively inexperienced, it's really performing. Maybe they strengthen that in the January transfer window. And, you know, even for someone like Nunes to sort of, you know, with Salah gone, maybe Nunes steps up. He's obviously got the goal against Burnley. I'd just like there to be a title race. That's the main thing. I don't want Manchester City to sort of start clicking and it'd be boring.
Yeah, just looking at Liverpool's next few fixtures, Newcastle at home. The interesting thing about Liverpool is they've played Newcastle away, Spurs away, Chelsea away, Man City away. So they've got a decent back half to the season. They're not in the Champions League. Their next few games, they've got Liverpool in next few league games, Newcastle at home. They've then got Bournemouth away. They've then got Chelsea at home. They've got Arsenal away, Burnley at home, Brentford away, Luton at home. I think they've just got to churn. The only thing I'd say about Liverpool is, even as a United fan, they dropped 2 points against us and they probably should have beaten Arsenal, but I'd still say Man City, yeah.
Yeah, that's the worrying thing. Do you want to move on to, obviously, just before Christmas, you gave a chance of a lifetime to win a match-worn Mark Goldbridge jumper. And we asked for fans to get in touch with where you take Mark on holiday for Christmas. And the calibre of entries, Mark, is absolutely fantastic. So I've picked a few. There's obviously a lot of ones have been, you know, talk about Man United and Glazers. But me, I think we're on the same sort of wavelength. We like the really descriptive ones. So I'll read some out. You rank them out of 10 and we'll sort of pick a best one if that works for you.
Yeah, I did read a lot of these because I was publishing them before Christmas. But I'm excited to hear some of these and I'm sure you are at home as well.
So we start with Liam McLovin. He said, Mark, I'll take you down the local snooker club where you'd get to use your new cue made of premium ash with an Irish linen grip, food at Miller and Carter, and a few bevs at the local to follow.
I like the sound of it. It's simplistic, but the quality of the cue is amazing.
Yeah, nice. Rating out of 10?
I'll give that one a 7.
Okay, I'll rattle through a few of these. There's a good football-related one actually here. It said, it's from Char. He said, we would set up home alone like traps. The PGMLO would be invited. They would try to come round to ruin Christmas. After a series of traps, they beg to stop it. We tell them if they get rid of VAR, football is saved on Christmas.
I like that because it was actually quite tame, like Home Alone. I did worry that they would plead for their lives and we would still kill them or something like that, yeah. Which would have took it too far. I like that one. I'll give it a 6.
Caden says, I would take you to Grimsby in a camper van, park it on the seafront. We'd go for a few pints in the local boozer. And when we get back to the camper van, I would give you my present of a can of baked beans.
I was worried what the present was going to be. I don't like that sound at all. 3.
Okay. I know you like Ireland, so I would take you to Dunlaghair. I definitely butchered
Larry. Dunlaoghair. Dunlaoghair.
Dunlaoghair. Walk you down the pier, and then we'd get a fish and chips in the fish shack.
6.
Okay, nothing final one from me then. Unless you've got any ones that you want to bring in. Nicky Defoe says, if you spent Christmas with me, Mark, I will take you to Benidorm for a bit of Spanish shun. I would buy you a Rolex gold colour.
Yeah, I'll give that a 5. I think we've got to go with the first one. I mean, I will shout out a few people who were going to use time machines to take me back to watch the game at the new camp. Quite a few people went with that. There was a few filthy ones about, you know, tying themselves up and lube and letting me do anything and stuff like that. 20 years ago, maybe, but you know, not anymore. I'm not interested in that.
Never mind. I don't care.
There's no entries that are going on like that. Some of them involved celebrations and picking out your best one. I don't know where I was picking them out from, but filth, absolute filth. Bit of an admission to make. I've lost the jumper. I took it out on Christmas Day and I might have inadvertently handed it out. I don't think I have. I think it's at my sister's house and I'm seeing a new year, so hopefully it's going to come back. But I did wear it out on Christmas Day to show off. And I don't know where it is. I think I did come back. I only had 2 pints. I definitely came back in it. So it's around somewhere and it's winging its way to whoever that first person was.
Lovely. That was...
We've got more of that to come.
Liam McLovin. Yeah, Liam McLovin. So Liam, if comment on Spotify, your Instagram handle, and I'll message you and we'll get Mark's sister to send it direct.
Brilliant. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. It's great to be back. Thanks for all your support on the podcast. We've got some massive things coming up in 2024 and we're not going to speak to you until then anyway. So I'd just like to say massive support. It's been a long but fruitful first few months of the podcast to meet, you know, to be mixing it up with some of the big hitters in the podcasting sports space, and everybody seems to be putting out a new podcast every week at the moment, and they all get these amazing guests, but it's not really what we're about. And, you know, we're about building a community. And I really appreciate all your top fives on your top transfers of January. history in the Premier League. And also that VAR thing is something. And also get your comments in as ever. I mean, a lot of the random comments actually end up being in the show and stuff like that, or giving us ideas. So really love the community, and I mean, some really exciting stuff coming up in 2024, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, it's just the length and stretch of the world where people are listening to. I know we joked about the lads we met in McDonald's, but Seb Pollen said, "I'm listening, Will. Nice meeting you and Mark in McDonald's, the lads from Stavanger, entries from Romania." And I think, like, what sums it up for me, that there was a week where we were third in the charts, which we still don't understand about. But number one was Gary Neville, Stick to Football. They had David Beckham on. Number two was Gary Lineker's podcast, and they had Thierry Henry on. And number three was us in the chat.
Goldbridge Saves Football, and I had Will on.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ, miracles do happen.
Look, I built the United Stand. I built That's Football. I built it from the foundation up, and look at where they are now. I'm sure this podcast can be part of something very special. And if you're part of it from the start, then, you know, you're part of the ultras. That's what it's all about. And I'm sure we can keep kicking on, because there's some big podcasts out there, but I think we can be bigger. Merry Christmas, but also Happy New Year, whatever you're doing. And we will reconvene on the 2nd.
Yeah, 2nd, and we'll be out later time of lunchtime, just because we were going to record it in the morning, but it'll still be there on a Tuesday. We won't let you down.
Yeah, normally out at 7, but it'll be out at 2 on Tuesday, because we're not going to do it on New Year's Day. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Big shout out to Will. And we'll speak to you soon. Don't forget to put your comments on, give us 5 stars, and give us a follow on those podcast platforms. And I hope you all have a great Christmas. We'll speak to you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.